Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
All right. So climate change has been all the rage as fires rage on and reports come out and storms and hurricanes hit and people are migrating away. And so reports have come out and they've been in the news. The United Nations issued a report. The president said what he thought of that United Nations report and what he thinks of global warming and climate change, I should say. And then his own government issued a report. And he let us know what he thinks about that, too. His government, with 15 agencies staffed with his people, gave a report. But, you know, if you don't believe the CIA. And it's CIA. But anyway, why jump ahead? So we're going to try to get into this just because it's kind of important. A lot of technical stuff. We'll try to break it up with some laughs and probably end in some arguing. So you have that to look forward to. So this was the United Nations report that came out in October by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. A group of scientists convened by the United Nations to guide world leaders describes a world of worsening food shortages, wildfires, well, we've seen that, and a mass die-off of coral reefs as soon as 2040. So, again, this is going to affect most of us. I don't think it'll affect President Trump because he'll probably be dead, probably fucking die in the middle of eating a cheeseburger. But should affect us, Joe. I think we'll still be around in 20 years.
Yeah, we should be, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Pip, I think so.
I'm thinking that it's going to be a very uncomfortable time in the nursing home for me.
What is that, tonight? What?
Well, you know, once you did the diarrhea dance, they hold her in there.
We're talking 20 years, not 20 minutes.
No, I'm not in 20 years.
So the authors found that, you could afford that, please. You'll be living in your hovel. Anyway, the authors found that wow, that got nothing. All right, as it deserved. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Nothing.
Right, keep reading.
Fine, I apologize. The authors found... That was longer than I expected. The authors found that if greenhouse gas emissions continue at the current rate, the atmosphere will warm up by as much as 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels by 2040, inundating coastlines and intensifying droughts and poverty. Previous work had focused on estimating the damage if average temperatures were to rise by a larger number, 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, because that was the threshold scientists previously considered for the most severe effects of climate change. You're already seeing this in the United States in places like Florida. Like, even when it doesn't rain now, there's streets in Miami that get flooded when the tides come in that, 10, 15 years ago, they didn't have to worry about. It comes up from underneath the storm grades and comes in and floods the area. But we're already starting to see some of this stuff. Avoiding the most serious damage requires transforming the world economy within just a few years, said the authors, who estimate that damage would come at a cost of $54 trillion. But while they conclude that it is technically possible to achieve the rapid changes required to avoid 2.7 degrees of warming, they concede that it may be politically unlikely. Not fucking happening. Not going to happen, in my opinion.
No, humans aren't smart enough to deal with what they're supposed to do. Instead of looking at their pocketbooks.
If humans were hamsters, we would shit where we make our little burrow, which hamsters don't do. Hamsters shit in one little corner of the tank. They take their food back to the burrow, but they know not to shit where they sleep. But we're not that bright. We'd be the dumb hamster. For instance, a report says that heavy taxes or prices on carbon dioxide emissions, perhaps as high as 27,000 per ton by 2100, would be required. But such a move would be almost politically impossible in the United States, the world's largest economy and second largest greenhouse gas emitter behind China. Lawmakers around the world, including in China and the European Union and California, have enacted carbon pricing programs. The report was written and edited by 91 scientists from 40 countries who analyzed more than 6,000 scientific studies. The Paris Agreement set out to prevent warming of more than 3.6 degrees above pre-industrial levels, long considered a threshold for the most severe social and economic damage from climate change. But the heads of small island nations, perhaps where they shoot you when you show up, fearful of rising sea levels, had also asked scientists to examine the effect of 2.7 degrees of warming. To prevent this warming, the report said greenhouse pollution must be reduced by 45% from 2010 levels by 2030 and 100% by 2050. It also found that by 2050, use of coal as an electricity source would have to drop from nearly 40% today to 1 to 7%. Renewable energy such as wind and solar, which make up about 20% of the electricity mix today, would have to increase as much as 67%. You know, I actually see that as being attainable. Those numbers that they say there, I think that could happen if, you know, the governments decided it was worthwhile.
Yeah, if we could get them to decide that it was worthwhile, but you know that's not happening.
Well, we're starting to see it happen with demand, but the demand for more ecologically friendly stuff, because the younger generations realize that they're inheriting this earth, so they don't, you know, they're not buying, you know, when we were growing up, you know, you wanted like a monster, you wanted an 8-cylinder car like a Monte Carlo SS that was loud as fuck and can go really fast and got like 12 miles to the gallon. You know, I mean, there's still some folks like that, but most generations don't want that. They want better gas mileage. That's what they want, because they know it's costing them money.
Yeah.
So this report makes it clear there is no way to mitigate climate change without getting rid of coal, said Drew Schindel, a climate scientist at Duke University and an author of the report. The World Coal Association disputed the conclusion that stopping global warming calls for an end of coal use. In a statement, Katie Warwick, its interim chief executive, noted that forecasts from the International Energy Agency, a global analysis organization, continue to see a role for coal for the foreseeable future. Ms. Warwick said her organization intends to campaign for governments to invest in carbon capture technology. Such technology, which is currently too expensive for commercial use, could allow coal to be widely used. So what she should be doing, if she really thinks coal, you know, and she has a vested interest in coal, is that they should be throwing money to scientists to make this carbon capture technology a lot cheaper, so coal is still a cheap and now an efficient use of energy. That's where they should be wasting their money. Instead of fucking lobbying, you know, for more mines, which are not going to happen, they should do this first, and then they'll get their more mines.
Well, they are pushing the way coal is. They do have a clean coal initiative that is working. Now, the whole thing with coal is that it still is a viable source, but let the economy dictate that. Let the market dictate.
Well, you can't.
That.
Well, the market is dictating it to some degree.
Explain by how the market is dictating it to some degree.
Because we're just moving away to other
right.
Things.
So then let that.
But it's not.
Let
but,
that
but,
be the course. Of
but
it.
The problem is it's not happening fast enough. That's the problem. And the problem was we have a president right now who's looking backwards, saying we got to do more with coal. Listen, coal is the 19th century technology. If we want to be the leader in the world, and really, and we'll get more into this, really generate our economy. Forget about the effects in climate. Generate our economy. We need to do what we did with the Silicon Valley. We need to develop these technologies. We need to make them here. We need to own proprietorship of these things so that everybody wants to get this cheaper, more efficient, or more environmentally friendly technology. They have to come to us. That's the way everybody wins. That's where the money should be invested.
Now, you're going to go into a West Virginia town, sit down with guys that are my age, 50, late, you know, mid-50s and stuff like that, that had their whole investment in that, and explain that to them?
Well, no. What I would do is I would have...
That's what sunk Hillary.
What I would do is I would have the VCR repairman explain what's going to happen. I would have the guy who used to work at the photomat. I would have the blacksmith. Listen, it's just the way it is. Listen, not every technology lives forever. I mean, we've talked about this before. I feel like ad nauseum. Unfortunately, sometimes you'll lose your job. It sucks. And you and I have actually agreed on this. What we should be doing is retraining these people for the newer technologies so that they have long-term jobs. They're making good living, and they're not getting the black lung and dying at your age. You know, and coughing up lungs and everything—that's what we should be doing.
I know, but in places like West Virginia, so that it's not going to happen.
No, it already is happening. Private companies already have gone in there and retrained them. You gotta watch Vice on HBO. It's so good. That's like mini documentaries. But yeah, they've gone in there. They're retraining them on computers. These people want other jobs.
Retraining and
coal miners.
Coal miners.
Retraining
and in what age group?
The age groups you were talking about.
Really?
Yes. That's what. Listen, if you really care about Americans, if you really care about these people, want them.
And
to,
what's the turnaround? How many have they moved away from the coal mines?
It was a good amount. I don't remember what it was, but it's like one or two companies doing it. But if we put our efforts into that, because these people are going to lose their jobs anyway, not necessarily because of demand, but just because everything's automated. But they get robots to go in there and do things a lot cheaper and a lot more efficiently than a bunch of coal miners.
So let them, yeah. So let that push them out. It's the same.
But
thing
that's
with
what's
the,
happening. That's why these coal mines are closing. That's what's happening.
Then
that's
let
why
the
Hillary
market,
was
then
right.
Let the market dictate it and don't legislate it out. Let the market.
The market
the free
is
market.
Dictate.
Then that's
but
then
the
that's
problem
fine.
Is when you, problem is when you go in there and don't and you're not honest with them. Hillary was right. She just has the charm of a saber-toothed tiger. What she said was correct. Those jobs are not coming back. That's what you got. That's what these guys love Trump. He's got like 70% approval rating or something in West Virginia. They love Trump. That's what Trump should say. Trump should be going, listen, I care about you. Here's the reality. Your kids are not going to be able to work in these mines. They're not going to be there. You might, you know, 10, 15 years, we're moving away from this stuff. I want you to have a legacy. I want you to be able to make a living. We got to start training you up because there's not the demand that there once was. It pollutes the environment, and you're being replaced by robots. Everywhere we go, you go to McDonald's or wherever.
I think they're seeing that on their own. They don't need Trump to come to town and tell them.
I don't think they are. No, you're giving them too much credit. People, unfortunately,
saying people are stupid?
Yes. But that's not what I'm saying here. Yes, I'm saying people are stupid, but I'm not saying this. I always say people are stupid. I don't know why you even question that. I truly believe people are stupid. But what I'm saying here, I don't. I mean, how many times have I called you stupid? You think you're special? No. But I think when people are living, I think when you're living paycheck to paycheck, when you're living hand to mouth, it's very hard to see the long term if you're not presenting them with another option, another better option. So they're like, well, this is what we know. There's not a better option. We've always done this. This is what we need to continue to do. I don't think they understand. Just like I don't think the guy at the photomat understood. Just like I don't think the blacksmith understood or the VCR repairman understood. That change is going to happen, and eventually you're going to be SOL. I don't think they understand. And it's human nature. We get comfortable. This is what we do. If I suddenly told you, Joe, there was going to be no more plumbing. That whole industry was going away. We were going to shitting in our hands, and we shit in our hands, it magically dissolves. We're going to sprinkle a little powder on it, so there'll be no more need.
You were at the meeting today.
I was at the meeting. If I told you that, your initial response would be to fuck you, go fuck you, man. You don't know what you're talking about. This is going to be here forever. But if I told
you. But your role telling me that, who are you telling me that?
What I'm saying is. Well, I would show you statistics and everything.
I understand that,
But if I said to you, listen, Joe, this is coming, but what we're going to do is...
Yeah, all right.
But what we're going to do is, because the end is coming, we're going to start training you for making the powder that makes the shit in your hand disappear. We're going to take your skill set, we're going to add a new skill set to you, and this is the new technology for the next 100, 200 years. We think it's the new technology forever. We're going to take you, because you're already in this field... And we're gonna train you up, and you're gonna live healthy. You're not gonna have to be on the phone getting agita and high blood pressure, dealing with sales anymore. We're gonna train you for this. You go, okay. So what you're telling me is this job is ending, and you're going to train me, and I'm going to make more money and have a better lifestyle. You're more likely to go, okay, this is something I'm interested in, as opposed to going, your job's going away, and there's nothing we can do for
you. All right, now you're telling me that as who? Are you telling me that as a politician? Are you telling me that as a factory owner? Who are you telling me that as?
You know, well, the problem is who's giving the message.
Right. Who's giving the message? And who is offering this? A company is offering this?
Well, no, I think you know if. I mean, we're way off base.
No, we're actually not.
You have to incentivize. Yes, the companies have to do this, but that's who I would give the tax breaks to. I would give a tax break. I would give the 21% tax rate, which is what the new corporate tax rate is, to that company, and I would jack up GM's tax rate.
So a company came to town
mm-hmm.
and said they were going to do this.
Yes.
All right, that's fine. Let the market dictate that. Don't let a politician come to town and tell them we're shutting down the mines.
You know what I'm saying? There's a difference on that. I understand, but what I'm telling you is, and I understand why you would say that, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm telling you is, the scientists are saying we don't have that type of time. It's coming, but we don't have that type of time. Listen, those jobs are not going to be there forever. You're seeing it now. We were arguing on my Facebook page, you know, the cars, you know, there's not the demand for them. Yeah, because people don't want those type of cars that are made now. They want electric cars. And you said, yeah, well, that wouldn't work for you, for our lifestyle. I go, yeah, most people don't drive 1,000 fucking miles a day. Most people go 60 miles maybe round trip.
What they have to do, like I said, I was in the middle of lunch when I was reading. What they have to do is they're almost there with that, okay? They got the car. They got the cars to do 250 miles on a charge, okay? What they need to do is cut the time down to do a recharge on that.
Right, and that's where as a people, we should be saying, we need to get behind that technology.
But we are. And the market is dictating that.
We have a president who keeps on talking about oil and coal. What I'm saying is I want my president talking about that. Go, we're going to get it up to 500 miles. We're like we did with fucking NASA and shit. We're going to go to the moon. I'm going, we're going to go this. We're going to have manufacturing jobs. They're going to stay here. These companies that keep the jobs here are going to get the tax rate. This is going to be our technology. These are going to be American companies. We're going to make everybody come to us for the best electronic cars. That's what you do. That's what you do. But we're not doing that. We're looking backwards, which drives people like me nuts. But I'll go on.
Well, he might be, you know, like you said, he's not thrilled with GM. We did bail him out, so he might.
No, he didn't bail him out. Obama did.
The government, yeah, obviously.
Right, and as I said to you, that's why I'm so upset about this tax break, where you were like, well, what can you do? There should have been incentives. You keep the jobs over here. You get the 21% tax break. 21% tax rate, and what we say maybe 51% of your jobs.
Well, like I said, I'm being an optimist about it because we got with the tariffs, and a deal could be cut where it might be advantageous for them to build the cars here.
Well, tariffs are part of the reason they said they left. But that my point is, it wasn't tax reform; it was a tax giveaway. They should have given the 21%, which is a very attractive corporate tax rate, to the companies that kept their businesses here and jacked it up to the companies that keep on outsourcing. You want to be good to the American worker? Now, part of the problem why GM had to leave was part of the new Mexican-American-Canadian trade agreement. And this goes to an argument that you've made in the past, which you did not make in this case. Part of that was, I believe they have to get the factory workers have to get a minimum wage of, it was either $15 or $18 an hour. And that's part of the deal. If they're building cars in Mexico, Canada, or America. Mm-hmm. Now, in the past, you argued against the minimum tax wage. But you didn't say anything about this, and GM is actually making the argument you've made in the past. Well, we can't afford that, so we're going to ship it to China.
Hmm. Well, a lot of it has to do with the unions. The unions and the legacy costs.
Right, but this was something that the president prides himself on negotiating. This is something that you've touted. So this is where I go to you. I go, well, which is it? Can we have a minimum wage or not have a minimum wage? Should the government get involved with minimum wage, or should we just let capitalism? And then I would argue, capitalism left the auto industry years ago when we bailed them out. But anyway. That's the argument. That's one of the reasons. We can't compete with China on manufacturing because we have a higher way of cost of living. It's just the way it is.
Oh, well, it's the unions and the legacy costs that can, you know.
That's part of it. But
you're going to pay some guy $75 to hang a wheel in a car.
But you know what? But that's what was negotiated. Deal's a deal. That's what was negotiated. Mm. You know, if you're relying on that pension, you know, and that's what you were negotiating, you paid your dues, you can't just take that pension away.
Yeah, it's
how about the CEOs take a little less? How about the executives take a little less?
What? Yeah!
But that's the answer. That's the answer.
Well, they're not.
I know they're not.
You know, and you know, it's.
But that's the populist argument. If Trump was truly a populist, which he's not, if he was a populist, that would be the argument. Go, wait a minute. I just negotiated so these guys can have a working living wage to get them off the government dole. And you're shipping out 15,000 jobs between the United.
Hence him being sore as hell. You know?
That doesn't mean it. He's always sore. He wakes up like you. He's fucking angry. He always wakes He's like you. That's why you like him. He's always pissed off. That's why Melania won't sleep with him.
Because we work like hell, we get 4 hours of sleep, and we're not thrilled.
Listen, Trump ain't working like hell. I will agree with you. He probably gets about 4 hours of sleep. But he ain't working like
so
hell.
So do I. So
yes, but you're working
we're
hard.
Above, yeah.
You deserve more hours of sleep. He needs it just so we can get a break. But anyway, to go on.
He has to rest up for golf.
Yeah, I mean, really, I can't with him. But I'm happy when he's playing golf because it means he could do less damage. It's hard to tweet while you're trying to make a putt.
Yeah, that is good.
Yes.
He is distracted.
So anyway, going back to the World Coal Association. Ms. Warwick said her organization intends to campaign for governments to invest in carbon capture technology. Despite the controversial policy implications, the United States delegation joined more than 180 countries in accepting the report summary for policymakers while walking a delicate diplomatic line. A State Department statement said that acceptance of this report by the panel does not imply endorsement by the United States of the specific findings or an underlying contents of the report. Reading is becoming tough. The State Department delegation faced a conundrum. Refusing to approve the document would place the United States at odds with many nations and show it rejecting established academic science on the world stage. We've already fucking done that. However, the delegation also represents a president who has rejected climate science and climate policy. We reiterate that the United States intends to withdraw from the Paris Agreement at the earliest opportunity. I thought we already had, to be honest with you.
I think...
Apparently not.
Well, I think we threatened it. I think we're trying to renegotiate it.
Anyway, absent the identification of terms that are better for the American people. The report attempts to put a price tag on effects of climate change. The estimated $54 trillion in damage from 2.7 degrees of warming would grow to $69 trillion if the world continues to warm by 3.6 degrees and beyond, although it does not specify the length of time.
And also, does it specify that the third world countries would get on board with this? The ones that are, you know...
Well, they were on the Paris Accord. They were in on the Paris Accord. The only one that wasn't was, like, Syria at the time. Then
Well, also, you think about China and America are the major...
China was part of the Paris Accord. China was part of it, so was India. And their complaint was, hey, you guys had your chance to grow. This is our chance to grow, and now you're trying to slow us down. That was their argument. Our argument is...
Yeah, and that's great, because when time is running out for any of us to grow, they're complaining about, you know, oh, well, now we have to have our chance to pollute. No, listen.
I understand your argument. I'm just telling you what theirs was. The report concludes that the world is already more than halfway to the 2.7-degree mark. Human activities have caused a warming of about 1.8 degrees since about the 1850s, the beginning of the large-scale industrial coal burning, the report found. The United States is not alone in failing to reduce emissions enough to prevent the worst effects of climate change. The report concludes that the greenhouse gas reduction pledges put forth under the Paris Agreement will not be enough to avoid 3.7 degrees of warming. So even when everybody lived up to what they agreed to, we're still fucked. That's what that says. Just not as elegantly as I said it. The report emphasizes the potential role of a tax on carbon dioxide emissions. A price on carbon is central to prompt mitigation. That report concludes it estimates that to be effective, such a price would have to range from $135 to $5,500 per ton of carbon dioxide pollution in 2030, from $690 to $27,000 per ton by 2100. I don't know what that means.
It's tons.
Yeah, thank you. By comparison, the Obama administration government economists estimated that an appropriate price on carbon would be in the range of $50 per ton. Under the Trump administration, that figure was lowered to about $7 per ton. So we're way off. We're way off. Both presidents were way off. Trump just a lot more. But we were way off. Americans for Prosperity, and who isn't? The political advocacy group funded by the libertarian billionaires Charles and David Koch has made a point of campaigning against politicians who support a carbon tax. Carbon taxes are political poison because they increase gas prices and electrical rates, said Myron Ebel, who heads the energy program at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, an industry-funded Washington research organization who led the Trump administration's transition at the Environmental Protection Agency. Yeah, basically it's going to cost money. That's why we need an alternative fuel that's cheap. That's why we should be working on.
We're working on it.
What are you doing? I'm not doing anything.
The country, wind power, you know, solar
right,
power.
But I believe Trump has cut the subsidies to those companies. And I don't know why the hell we're still subsidizing oil. They fucking make money hand over fist.
Right.
That's bullshit.
But we're starting to turn that way. They'll be fine.
Trump has turned away from it.
But the market will dictate that.
The market dictating times have kind of gone past if you believe in these scientific predictions.
Right. That's the point I was trying to make earlier. You know, we're unfortunate we're past that point. Let's see. The report details the economic damage expected should government fails to enact policies to reduce emissions. The United States said it could lose roughly 1.2% of gross domestic product for every 1.8 degrees of warming. In addition, it said the United States, along with Bangladesh, China, Egypt, India, Indonesia, Japan, the Philippines, and Vietnam, are home to 50 million people who will be exposed to the effects of increased coastal flooding by 2040 if 2.7 degrees of warming occur. You're going to fucking see that in the New York subways, by the way. You saw that in Hurricane Sandy, how it flooded out. With the increase in the sea level, you're going to flood out the subways. Like I said earlier, in Florida, they're starting to see that stuff. You're going to see it. It's just a matter of, are we going to do anything about it? But can you imagine New York if, like, all the subways get flooded out? All that shit short circuits, we can't use it anymore? Can you imagine what would happen to New York? The loss of fucking money being generated from people who have to get to work and do business? It would be devastating. So you got to do something. That's part of the infrastructure that we always get promised that never happens.
We wonder what happened to Atlantis.
I'll be there next year, New Year's. Thanks for asking.
Atlantis.
Always in service of a plug.
Thank you, Pip. That was a fine setup indeed. A plug more than a year away, but a plug nonetheless. Spend New Year's 2020 with your pal.
Thought there was a policy to only plug gigs over the following week.
Well, I mean, if Pip's going to do that for me, I can't be rude to her. She's just in a diarrhea dance. 3.6 degrees of warming. The report predicts a disproportionately rapid evacuation of people from the tropics. In some parts of the world, national borders will become irrelevant, says Aramar Revy, a director of the Indian Institute of Human Settlements and author of the report. You can set up a wall to try to contain 10 and 20,000 and 1 million people, but not 10 million. All right, so this goes back to what's going part, you know, what's going on. You think these migration now, these caravans are bad? Look what happens when it becomes 120 degrees in Central America. Those people are going to come somewhere. They're going to head north. That's just the way it is. And the Pentagon knows this. This is why it looks at global warming as a serious threat to our security. We got to do something about this shit. Because people, you know, when people run out of food because of droughts and famine and flooding and it's 120 degrees all the time, they're going to come someplace. And we're very lucky to live in North America where, you know, food is, right now is relatively plentiful, where we can grow our own food. And the climate is not that hospitable. Not that inhospitable, excuse me. But they're going to come somewhere. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. That's the cue. I got beeped. You still there, Pip?
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about the trees that are really going to be at risk because they're at sea level. There are some island chains that will be completely wiped out with a couple more feet of sea level rising.
You know what we should be doing to solve this problem? Mm. We should be exporting rafts, charging a good fee for rafts. That's what we should do, make money on it.
Rafts.
Yes.
Yeah.
A capitalist answer. What do you think, Joe?
That would be good. We just turn the trees into coral.
Well, no, the coral's dying.
Yeah.
That's dying too. The report also finds that in the likelihood that governments fail to avert 2.7 degrees of warming, another scenario is possible, the world could overshoot that target, heat up by more than 3.6 degrees, and then through a combination of lowering emissions and deploying carbon capture technology, bring the temperatures back down to below the 2.7 degree threshold. In that scenario, some damage would be irreversible, the report found. All coral reefs would die. However, the sea ice that would disappear in the hotter scenario would return once temperatures had cooled off. So there's that. The oceans are dead. But, you know, we can pretend we're Chilly Willy the Penguin. For governments, the idea of overshooting the target but then coming back to it is attractive because then they don't have to make such rapid changes. But it has a lot of disadvantages. So they had something in the article, like how many 90-degree days when you were born in the town you were to what it was now. Did you see that in the article?
No. It didn't.
So I was born in... What?
I don't remember reading that.
Well, my hometown was Bergenfield, New Jersey. And so in 1974, the year I was born, the average days of 90 degrees or higher was 7. It's not too bad. It's about a week of really the dog days of summer, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is 11. So at that rate, we're going to be, by the time I'm 80, it'll be around 27 days. That's a big climate. That's a big change in climate.
That's ridiculous. It's that's such a high cost in terms of human suffering, in terms of the price of electricity for keeping the food cold, keeping people's homes at a livable temperature. It's a huge difference.
It's going to be good for the air conditioning industry.
Oh, sure.
It's just a shame Carrier exported a bunch of jobs. Listen, I think I've been saying, I think if the U.S. wants to be a worldwide leader, we need to be a leader in this. We need to be a leader in curbing our fossil fuels while also developing the next generation of technology. If we can do that, we will position our economy to be a monster for years to come.
Well, that's
a good point.
Like I said, the market will dictate.
I understand that, Joe, but they're telling us we don't have time for that.
It sounds like there were, you know, obviously there were a bunch of alarmists on that, but a lot, you know.
Wait a minute. Maybe they're not alarmists. Maybe they're being conservative.
How many of the scientists are working for the government and working on government subsidies?
What?
They're saying there have been reports that a lot of these scientists are government subsidized and slanting their, you know.
Yes, because when I see those scientists making it rain at the strip clubs, pulling up in their Lamborghinis, scientists aren't living high on the hog for the most part. They're doing what they're tasked to do. They're doing research. You believe the science that makes you healthy with medicine, don't you? You believe that shit, don't you? You believe the science that made your car go vroom vroom, don't you? It's fucking science. You believe the science that landed the Mars rover on Mars yesterday, that got it going from like 12,000 miles per hour to 7 miles per hour, so it could have it's science.
I understand, but it's also that a lot of scientists that have proven to the contrary have been scienced. Claude Allègre, the founding father of the theory of global warming, renounced his position on it. You know, so,
that's one.
So,
and I don't know what article. You're just telling me that, and I don't know who that is.
You could have Pip look at him.
All right, she's not doing anything. Yeah.
But you know, so basically, I think that
we know shit's changing. We know it. We're experienced. I just told you my old hometown.
The Earth's changed for millions and millions of years.
Right, but they're saying that this is something they've never seen before. They're saying this is much more rapid. They're saying this is different. So we could go with science, the shit that makes the lights go on, the shit that makes our cars go, the shit that we look to in medicine, or we could go, man, they could be wrong. Listen, maybe they are wrong. Let's err on the side of caution. But like I said, even if they're wrong, if we have the new gen of technology, before everybody figures out they're wrong, we're going to fucking make a boatload of money.
Well, you want to know something? It's going to take a lot more than, you know, us. It's going to take a lot of these third world countries.
Absolutely, but we got to lead the way. Absolutely.
That are taking the money and they're not doing anything with it from the
Paris
Accord.
How good would it be to make fucking oil drop to like a dollar a barrel, so we didn't have to fucking blow a Saudi prince, which we shouldn't be doing anyway. How good would that be?
It'd be very good.
Right. So we're not beholden to anybody. So we control our own fate. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about doing from a position of weakness. I'm talking about doing from a position of strength.
Right.
That's what we should be doing.
But you let the entrepreneurs figure that out and not let the government totally legislate it, because basically that entrepreneurial spirit will create that market.
Well, the businesses, when Trump pulled out of the Paris Accord, the businesses, they said they're going to still, some of them said they're still going
to
go with it.
Because there's money in it. There's money to be made
in it. I understand that. But like I said to you, why are we subsidizing oil if we're going to subsidize energy? Well, oil makes a shitload of money. Why not subsidize the person who's working on some new technology?
No, because oil is still the main thing that keeps
everything
running.
But they don't need our money. Why are we subsidizing that? They don't need our money. I'd rather feed the poor.
Well, it's going to come up. It's going to come up. It's going to go up at the pump. If we, you know, it's going to pay the same. You're going to pay the same price no matter what you do. The key of it is finding that alternate source which will decline, which will kind of obsolete oil, which will obsolete
which
coal.
Is where we were headed. Which is where we were headed. This president.
We haven't stopped.
We've cut the sub. Pip, can you look? Can you look down? Find for me what the subsidies were on the Obama administration for a wind and a solar and hydro compared to what they are on the Trump administration? Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am on that. And I'll continue. Okay.
Okay.
So Trump was asked about this interview with 60 Minutes. He was he said he believed it, but it could also go back. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. I mean, because if you believe the study, they're not really saying it's going to go back if we don't change our behavior. So it sounds like he doesn't believe it. So Trump said, I said the worst hurricane was 50 years ago, far worse than what was this one was. But I recall him saying these hurricanes were the worst ever. Doesn't he always say these hurricanes are the worst ever?
Maybe he told them these are the ones that are the worst.
No, but like when we have like Hurricane Maria, like Texas has never seen this. Most rain ever. Biggest, wettest. And then now for this interview, we've had worse.
Maybe he didn't read the article.
He is the article. Then in 1890, they had one that was even worse. This was number 3 or 4 or 5. We had worse hurricanes in 1890. We had a worse hurricane 50 years ago. He doesn't understand the difference between weather and climate. We've gone through a period actually fairly recently where we have very few. I live in Florida to a large extent and spend a lot of time in Florida, and we had a period of time where we went years without having any major problem. I bet you all his fucking problems all his properties are insured. Actually, I know his properties are insured for climate change. I know they are. Because they're right on the water, a lot of his golf courses.
They would have to. Yeah, of course they do. To get what you know the financing and the bank and everything like that. Of course they do.
I don't know. Does Russia care about insurance? Don't dismiss that, because it's true. No banks would lend money to him, and his sons have bragged that they get their money from Russia. So don't dismiss that. His sons have been on the record saying that. So that's not just made up shit. And then you have a problem, and it goes in cycles. And I want absolutely crystal clear water. And I want the cleanest air on the planet. And our now air is cleaner than it's ever been. I don't know what that means. Because when the fish tank gets cloudy, I have these drops that I can make.
No, the air has been cleaner than it has been. Think about how clean the air was 50 years ago compared to how clean the air is now.
Right, but we don't want to roll back that progress we've made. Remember, it was a Republican president, Nixon, that formed the EPA.
Right.
I don't want to roll back to that. Remember in the 80s how smoggy Los Angeles was?
Yes.
You see in Asia how they, because they don't have these controls, how the people have to wear the surgical masks all the time?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I know. Now, do you think they're going to get on board with global warming?
I think the people are going to die if they don't.
You're saying they're going to die, but do you think they're going to get China as a government? You know, no matter people. You think they're going to get on board with this?
Yes, because I think.
Because they're doing great on human rights.
So are we these days? I think they'll have pressure from their people when they're getting sick with all these lung diseases, and if they see that more of the first world nations are coming to us for our new technology, they're going to go, fuck, we can do that and cheaper. We're just So I think
once again, you're letting the market dictate it.
I'm not saying the market doesn't have a place, Joe. Nobody's saying the market doesn't have a place. No. We're saying there's shit you got to do, though, besides that. Because there's nothing pure capitalist in this country. We bail out banks. We bail out auto industries. We subsidize farmers. This capitalism is a fucking myth. We bail out shit all the time.
Now, this whole global warming thing has been a big buzzword for the past month now.
Well, I prefer climate change.
We'll use climate change then. Big buzzword. You think it's going to be like every other story and go away in 2 weeks?
No, because I disagree with you that it's been the same thing for the past. There just happens to be some reports that came out. I think there are people that are very focused on it. I think there are people very angered by our president's position on it.
There's a lot of people angered by a president's position on everything.
Right, but we're talking about this. No, I don't think it's going away. Will it be in the headlines? No, but there's going to be people working.
I personally think it's the flavor of the week.
No, the caravan's the flavor of the week.
I don't think
this is the flavor of the week. We've been talking about climate change for years now.
Remember, I said it was George Herbert Walker Bush who signed the Montreal Accord, which is what led to the closing of the hole in the ozone. Again, a Republican president. It's only in recent years that something like this is politicized. Wasn't always the case. Republicans were right there with the Democrats on this shit. It's only recent that's politicized, and being anti-science is a thing, and it's not a good thing.
No, well, I mean, I'm having trouble finding exact for dollar comparisons, but I'm looking at an article that says the Trump administration's 2019 budget proposal will seek deep cuts to clean energy research spending when it is released next month. The spending reductions would hit programs aimed at driving down the cost of solar energy, a sector that's creating jobs at a faster pace than the broader U.S. economy. It would also wipe out a home weatherization program that has trained thousands of Americans and lowered utility bills for ratepayers. The proposal asks Congress to appropriate $575.5 million for the Department of Energy's Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, a 72% drop from the previous fiscal year. In its first budget proposal, the Trump administration proposed cutting the office's funding by two-thirds to $636.1 million. Congress has so far rejected these cuts, but this is what he's suggesting, is cutting the renewable energy budget.
Joe?
Is it another? Well, they'll probably negotiate on the price. And is it another? Has that department got too bureaucratic? Is it redundant? Is it bureaucratic? Did it need? You know, is the funding that they had used efficiently? Could it be used? Did they need that much funding?
Why that department over all other stuff? I mean, let's say it's full of bureaucrats. You're going to tell me that's the only one? I don't buy that at all.
No, it's of course it's
so
not
why
the only
that one.
One?
Why is he not forward thinking? And you know, it's not going to pass with the Democratic Congress either.
Because he's a businessman.
But that's not how businesses work.
But let me explain. I'm just being the devil's advocate here.
Always when
he's
you talk about
him. He's a business. Funny. He's a businessman.
I'm going to call you Rudy.
He's a businessman, and he feels that there was the overregulation was killing business.
All right. Here's the problem. When you're a businessman, when you're a successful one, not the one who goes fucking bankrupt all the time and has to become a TV star. When you're a successful one, like Bill Gates, like Steve Jobs, like these type of people. We can all agree these are successful businessmen, right?
Yeah.
You think forward. Well, you think, how can I keep on creating, to keep this great thing that I've created going forward? How can I be five steps ahead of everybody? That's what successful business people do.
And also business people go, I can't, my day-to-day operations, I can't.
But he's telling you this is going to cost us money. This article is telling you it's going to cost the economy money, and the next one we say is going to do it even more. He's not forward-thinking because he's going to be dead soon. It's just true. He's going to be dead soon. He don't give a shit about Barron. When was the last time you saw Barron? I think he disappeared. Barron's MIA. Come on. Has anybody cited Barron? Yeah. Nobody cites Barron.
I like that we've been at this for about 35 minutes, and we're going back with reports and this, that, and the other thing, and we concluded that it's Barron's fault.
No, not his fault. I'm concerned. I am concerned. No, I have more concern for Barron than his daddy does. That's what I'm saying. Nobody's seen him, and his daddy doesn't care about what air he's going to breathe. I care about Barron. I want to see Barron live long and prosper, as long as he doesn't turn out like Don Jr. and Eric. If he turns out like them, then fuck it, choke on a chicken nugget. But otherwise, I want to see more Barron. Why don't we see Barron, Joe? Why no Barron?
I don't know. I got the research on this. Tell me about study like
I think a Saudi prince
the fucking region. I think a Saudi
prince.
Show.
I think a Saudi prince took Barron, and that's why Trump bent over for. That's what I think happened. We have to get Barron. We have to send SEAL Team 6 in to get Barron, Joe. That's what we need to be doing. And I'm surprised you're
you
not on board with this.
Are
you talking about allocating our resources?
We need to get Barron back.
SEAL Team 6.
Well, that fucking Saudi prince better not harm a hair on that little boy's head. Not one fucking hair, Joe.
You know what stinks? I'm going to be going home tonight going, what about Barron?
We never see him anymore. Nobody sees Barron. I digress. All right. So Trump continues. I mean, you know, I'm a person. And that's all he said. Now, he said, you know, I'm a person that believes very, very strongly in the environment. I am truly an environmentalist. Yes, Pip, that's the proper reaction.
Read the next line.
I know some people might not think that of me.
I know too.
But I don't even think you think that, Joe. You know, I don't think you think. You know, I bet Trump's favorite holiday is Arbor Day. I bet that thought never came into your head. I bet you never thought, what's Trump doing this Earth Day? I bet you never had that thought unless you thought it was chaining, you know, going to the Redwood Forest and having his sons chop down a fucking tree. You never were. He's not an environmentalist. He's an environmentalist the way I'm a fucking scuba diver. Not at all. And again, where's Barron? Everything I want and everything I have is clean. Look at my balls. Stormy didn't complain about dirty balls. They're clean balls.
See?
Clean is very important. That's why I eat at McDonald's. Water, air, but I also want jobs for our country, which Pip just told you, you're hurting, you motherfucker. And if we would have, as an example, entered certain agreements with other countries like we just did with Canada and Mexico, then the jobs left. I actually think that we're doing it so they could have an economic advantage because we would have had a tremendous, good word, We would have been at a tremendous economic disadvantage if we entered into certain agreements. Not so much.
Well, he's talking about the Paris Accord.
I understand. The Associated Press. But scientists say this is nearing a point where this can't be reversed. Trump. No. Some say that and some say differently. I mean, you have scientists on both sides of it. My uncle was a great professor at MIT for many years, Dr. John Trump. And I didn't talk to him about this particular subject, but I have a natural instinct for science. And I will say that you have scientists on both sides of the picture. Well, Joe, how can I argue with that? He's got an instinct, Joe. Well, I've been wrong. Fuck these scientists.
But there are scientists on both sides of the picture.
But Joe, he's got an instinct. He's got an instinct. And his uncle was a professor, and they never talked about it because professors are experts on every subject.
So what are you complaining about? You just answer.
Do you
the
understand
question.
The
you just answer the question.
Do you understand the imbecile we're dealing with that comes out in this conversation? Do you understand, Joe? If I told you, I know you're having problems with your heart. You know, your fatty foods and everything. You're on these medicines. Listen, my grandfather was a heart surgeon. Why don't you come over on Wednesday night? That's usually a slow night for you. We'll cut you open. I'll do a little surgery on the table. I have an instinct for it.
You accept insurance?
You don't even, your word's good with me.
I'll be here Wednesday.
No, you would. Well, you would, but you're a maniac. I said, Joe, we'll go into the newly painted house.
Funny.
You would look at me like I'm an asshole, and justifiably so for a change.
Well, I know. I could have had a better answer to that.
I don't think he could have. That's what I'm telling you. You would have a better answer. That's why I said Joe Curry's my president. I mean, he cannot have a better answer because he's an imbecile. He does not.
I stood next to a nuclear scientist in the line in Home Depot the other night, so I stayed home to build a reactor in my backyard.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did you, when you guys were online, did you and the scientists ever talk about nuclear fusion? Did it ever come up in conversation?
What do you mean?
Because Trump and his uncle never talked about climate change, and he was a it never came up in conversation. It never came up. Hey, how about the sweet potatoes? And hey, it's getting fucking hot the past 50 years. Never came up in conversation.
I gotta just interrupt one time. My neighbor across the street's a physicist, and
did he talk to Trump about this?
But you got to—he's tarring his driveway, you know, black coating his driveway, and you had to see him and it was taking him like a day and a half. And I'm watching him do it. And I go, why is he being so meticulous? I go, because he's a physicist. You got to see the way he's doing. You know, he's just.
Is he really?
Very detailed oriented. Usually, you just put the blacktop stuff down, you know, and
yeah,
it looks good.
Yeah, because when he fucks up, things will explode. John.
Yeah, but this guy was like, this guy was so more meticulous than you should be. I'm like, what's this thing? Oh, he's a physicist, of course.
My point is, by the man's answers, he's a fucking moron. If I came to you with an answer like that, Joe, I hear this loud clunking in my car, but, My cousin fixed cars once. He's not going to look at it, and we never talked about it. But I have an instinct. I think I'm good. I'm going to drive down to Myrtle Beach. It should be good, Joe. Hop in the car. Now, I know you're not going to Myrtle Beach this time, but last time, you'd go to me. Are you fucking nuts? Take the car to the mechanic. I'm not getting in that car. But, Joe, I have an instinct. My cousin, I have an instinct. You would look at me like I'm an asshole, and you'd be right.
For the same man that goes, this tuna sub tastes funny. We'll bring it back. Now I'll eat it.
I was fine. I have an instinct for tuna. I wasn't secondhand tuna. It was firsthand tuna. Okay. And you called me an asshole, and you were correct.
Yes.
Yeah, we're correct.
What the fuck are you doing? Bring it back. No, it's okay.
So why don't you have the same standards for the president? This was just a stupid comedy show and a tuna sandwich.
I didn't say this wasn't a bonehead answer he gave.
He's a moron. We'll go on. Joe can't even be devil's advocate for that. I mean,
No.
I don't think he understands climate change. I don't think he's an environmentalist. I don't think he understands that we need to lead the way with new technology. That he, I feel like if Obama was anti solar and wind, Trump would be pro solar and wind. No, honestly, I feel like Trump a lot of times just wants to be the anti Obama.
Oh, that's pretty clear.
Sometimes.
Now, and Trump says scientists on both sides, like Joe pointed out, but over 90% of the scientists are on the one side. You know, it's like 3 out of 4 dentists recommend using Crest. All right, I could use I could use Crest, or I could brush my teeth with Pop Rocks and follow what the one dentist says. Well, one of us is going to have teeth in a week and another, or in a year, and another one's not. You go with the majority, Joe. You go with the majority, or you're not going to have teeth.
Well, it kind of goes back to what they were saying in regards to people that are saying that global warming is not as serious as it is, because they're saying the 97% of the scientists report the concept of man-made climate change. What they're saying is it's closer to 43%. The 90% myth is from a variety of flawed studies. Now, if there's a study that's getting called out, they've been silencing it.
I don't think that's the case, though. I think that's proposed by people that are on the scientists that are paid for by Coke, because that's usually where that shit comes
from. Or the scientists that are paid for by the government.
97%, Joe. 3 out of 4 dentists, Crest or Pop Rocks.
And 43%.
Where are you brushing your teeth? Where are you brushing your teeth? Just to be on the safe side. Pop Rocks or Crest? Pop Rocks taste better.
But they're saying that some
Pop Rocks taste better.
But they're saying that some of a lot of the studies are flawed, and they're trying to come out and they're silencing
it. Where are you brushing your teeth with? Crest or Pop Rocks, Joe? 3 out of 4. Pop Rocks is delicious.
Let me see the studies.
Like you
well,
understand.
Let me ask you this, Joe. What is the point? Like, what are with the scientists who are purportedly paid by the government to say that there is tremendous global climate change and it's going to be happening sooner than we thought?
Funding.
What would be their
funding?
No, what would be their because they want funding for their.
Yep.
Their project?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they get it?
That's their motive?
If they just wanted money, they could be on Coke's payroll. If it was just money.
Well.
And I don't mean Coca-Cola. I mean, I remember the last time I went to the strip club, and there was a couple scientists. I could tell they were scientists because they were in white suits. And there was this stripper, and they were just making it rain Bunsen burners. It must have been all that sweet, sweet government money that was able to make them rain Bunsen burners. Because when I think of living the good life, I think of fucking scientists. Make no sense. All right, so let's go to the president's own government, the one he created with his people, and the one that and so this study was dropped on Black Friday when everybody's out shopping or getting over the Thanksgiving hangover,
which is the traditional day that every publicist uses to drop in news that they don't want anybody to hear about.
That's why I keep on putting the press releases and it's not working. I got to stop targeting that day. I fucked up. A new U.S. government report delivers a dire warning about climate change and its devastating impact, saying the economy could lose hundreds of billions of dollars, or in the worst case scenario, more than 10% of GDP by the end of the century. Joe, that's not good, is it?
No.
Okay. The federally mandated study was supposed to come out in December, but was released by the Trump administration on Friday. Yeah, right. Dave Easterling, director of the technical support unit at the NOAA, National Centers for Environmental Information, emphasized that there was no external interference in the report's development. He added that the climate change in the Earth is experienced as unlike any other. The global average temperature is much higher and is rising more rapidly than anything modern civilization has experienced, and this warming trend can only be explained by human activity. Coming from the U.S. Global Change Research Program, a team of 13 federal agencies, the fourth national climate assessment was put together with the help of 1,000 people, including 300 leading scientists, roughly half from outside the government. It's the second of two volumes, the first released in November 2017, conclude that there is no convincing alternative explanation for the changing climate other than human activities, especially emissions of greenhouse gases. On Wednesday, Trump tweeted, "Whatever happened to global warming as some Americans face the coldest Thanksgiving in over a century?" Because he doesn't understand the difference. He's dumb, Joe.
It's just like that congressman that brought a snowball into
Louis Gohmert.
Congress.
Yes, Louis
Come
Gohmert.
On.
That's why when Joe gets upset about the young Sandra Ocasio-Cortez from the Bronx and Queens, I go, well, yeah,
oh, the socialist. We're putting a socialist in.
And we're putting a guy who brings a snowball to Congress in, and he keeps on getting. Joe, if you fucking showed up at your day program with a fucking snowball, you'd be escorted out. Why does Joe have a snowball at his desk? We're trying to do serious business.
And you're still not concerned that the elected a socialist?
Well, because you and I have a different opinion of what she is, so I'm not going to get into that right now. But it's one congressperson. I know exactly why they're targeting her. Because she's young, female, Latina. That's why they're targeting her. I understand exactly what Fox News is. They're giving her the Pelosi and the Hillary treatment. She's a fucking threat. They're going to attack her for 30 years so that if she ever wants to run for president, you know.
But she's a socialist. Doesn't that concern you? You should be damned concerned about that.
We got a president who kisses up to communists. I'm not fucking concerned. You're not concerned about that. You're not concerned about that at all.
So. Another pie in the sky socialist, and socialism has never worked ever.
Really? How can we bail out the farmers? That's socialism, motherfucker. We are bailing out the farmers right now, as I speak. Our tax dollars, bailing out the farmers, bailed out the auto industry, bailed out the banks. Fucking socialism. We don't have capitalism.
Really? But it's the socialism as a whole. As a whole. It never has worked. What country has it worked in?
She's not a typical socialist. You're thinking of communism.
She's a fucking bird brain is what she is.
It's your opinion. When would you get elected to Congress at age 28?
Because you had a bunch of people that want to be on the dole that put her in there.
You don't know that. You're casting aspersions. And the poorest states in the nations are the ones controlled in the red. Mississippi right now, where they're having a fucking election, poorest state. Fucking red, 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 red. So let's not be silly. Anyway. Coming from the U.S. Global Change Research Program.
You'll see. You'll see. It's going to affect you in the long run. It's when you're paying taxes out the nose because everybody wants
Joe, to. Your guy, if you had the house right now that you used to have, you would be paying more taxes than you were before with this tax cut. And you know that because he did away with the real estate write-off. For people like us.
Yes, that's true.
Right. So don't talk to me about paying more taxes. That would have fucked you if you didn't move. Now
more taxes in general. More taxes.
But that's a big one. You're going to be.
Because you're going to. Forget it. Move on.
I don't think you would have complained about it. You'd be paying more, but I don't think you would have turned on your guy over it. Because you had a lot of property. What'd you have, an acre?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fucking. And that's more than most people have. You just happen to. You're like me right now. You don't have a lot of property.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really affect us as much. Coming from the U.S. Global Change Research Program, a team of 13 federal agencies, the fourth national climate assessment was put together with the help of 1,000 people, including 300 leading scientists, roughly from outside the government. So Trump tweeted whatever happened to global warming. But the science explained in these and other federal government reports is clear. Climate change is not disproved by the extreme weather of one day or a week. It's demonstrated by long-term trends. Humans are living with the warmest temperatures in modern history. Even in the best-case scenario were to happen and greenhouse gas emissions were to drop to nothing, the world is on track to warm to 1.1 degrees Fahrenheit. As of now, not a single G20 country meeting is meeting its climate targets. So everybody's fucking failing. So that goes to your point, Joe. Well, why should we start? You know, if nobody else is leading up to. And I would say, well, we have to set the example and demand that they do better.
And they'll all laugh at us and they'll all take our money.
That's not true. They didn't used to laugh at us. No, they do, but anyway. Without significant,
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Without significant reductions in greenhouse emissions, the annual average global temperature could increase 9 degrees Fahrenheit or more by the end of this century compared with pre-industrial temperatures. The cost of climate change could reach hundreds of billions of dollars annually, according to the report. The Southeast alone would probably lose over half a billion labor hours by 2100 due to extreme heat. Farmers will face extremely tough times. The quality and quantity of their crops will decline across the country due to higher temperatures, drought, and flooding. In parts of the Midwest, farms will be able to produce less than 75% of the corn they produce today, and the southern part of the region could lose more than 25% of its soybean yield. Heat stress could cause average dairy production to fall between 0.60% and 1.35% over the next 12 years, having already cost the industry $1.2 billion from the heat stress in 2010. When it comes to shellfish, there will be a $230 million loss by the end of the century due to ocean acidification, which is already killing off shellfish and corals. Red tides or algae bloom that deplete oxygen in the water and can kill sea life, like those that triggered a state of emergency in Florida in August, will become more frequent. Higher temperatures will also kill more people, the report says. The Midwest alone, which is predicted to have the largest increase in extreme temperatures, will see an additional 2,000 premature deaths per year by 2090. There'll be more mosquito and tick-borne diseases like Zika, dengue, and chikungunya. West Nile cases are expected to more than double by 2050 due to increasing temperatures. Expect asthma and allergies to be worse due to climate change. No one's health is immune from climate change, the report concludes. People will be exposed to more foodborne and waterborne diseases, particularly vulnerable to higher temperatures in the summer. Children, the elderly, the poor, and communities of color will be at a much greater risk for illness and death. Wildfire seasons, already longer and more destructive than before, could burn up to six times more forest area annually by 2050 in parts of the United States. Burned areas in southwestern California alone could double by 2050. Dependable and safe water for the Hawaiian, Caribbean, and others are threatened by these rising temperatures. Along the U.S. coast, public infrastructure and $1 trillion in national wealth held in real estate are threatened by rising sea levels, flooding, and storm surges. Energy systems will be taxed, meaning more blackouts and power failures, and the potential loss in some sectors could reach hundreds of billions of dollars per year by the end of the century, the report says. The number of days over 100 degrees Fahrenheit will multiply. Chicago, where these days are rare, could start to resemble Phoenix or Las Vegas with up to 2 months' worth of these scorching hot days. Sea levels have already gone up 7 to 8 inches since 1900. Almost half of that rise has been since 1993, a rate of rise greater than during any century in the past 2,800 years. Some countries already seeing land underwater. By mid-century, it's likely that the Arctic will lose all sea ice in late summer, and that could lead to more permafrost thaw, according to the report. As the permafrost thaws, more carbon dioxide and methane will be released, amplifying human-induced warming possibly significantly. The report was created to inform policymakers and make no specific recommendations how to remedy the problem. However, it suggests that if the United States immediately reduced its fossil fuel use and greenhouse gas emissions, it could save thousands of lives and generate billions in billions of dollars in benefits for the country. The Defense Department is trying to understand what risk climate change poses security. But the Trump administration has signaled that the country will pull out of international initiatives like the Paris Climate Accord aimed at lowering global temperatures, claiming that these treaties have been unfair to the U.S. economy. Reactions to the new report have been strong across the scientific community. If we're going to run this country like a business, it's time to address climate as the threat multiplier we know it is before more lives are lost, said Robert Bullard, an environmental scientist at Texas Southern University. In Houston, communities of color have endured back-to-back major weather events without acknowledgement from Washington that climate change is the cause. We've known for years that it's true, and it's important to our organizing and our local policy efforts that information like this is not only considered but believed and acted upon. Scientists who've been raising the alarm about the negative consequences of climate change for years welcome the findings. The findings in the Trump administration's NCA report show how the health and the daily lives of Americans are becoming more and more interrupted because of climate change, said Beverly Wright, a founding director of the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice and professor at Dillard University. We challenge the administration to finally begin using this information to rebuild and strengthen communities in the direct path of atrocities wrought by the fossil fuel industry and decades of poor policies that have neglected our concerns. The science is undeniable. Let's fix it. So here's the thing. This report came from the Trump administration, but he said he doesn't really believe it. He's not concerned. I mean,
How could you not be concerned about that level of the oceans rising?
Well, here's why. And I said it before. I was kind of joking, but not real. He's going to be dead soon. I honestly don't think this man cares about his legacy. I don't think he thinks about the future, because people who think about the future don't go constantly bankrupt all the time. I think we see it with his tweets. Like, I think there's a part of him goes, I shouldn't really tweet this, but it feels really fucking good. So he tweets it. I don't think he's the type of person who thinks about tomorrow. And there's lots of people like that. I just don't know if I really want them to be the leader. So I don't think he worries about this. I think he worries. This is good for me politically. My base is gonna believe me when I say there's nothing to worry about. They're gonna believe whatever I tell them, and it's gonna be fine for me politically. I really think that's what he thinks.
I think it's easier to think that way.
It's a lot easier.
Because then you don't have to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
I think the way technology is going. Because they're talking like 50 years from now. I think
it's not that long.
Yeah, but still, technology, we're making leaps and bounds with technology, and I'm sure everything will be fine. The Earth has been around for billions of years.
Not 6,000?
Not with people on it.
Yeah, I mean,
leaps and bounds we're making in technology.
But you just said you don't believe science, and now you're relying on technology. Science.
Like I said, with alternate fuels, technology and the market will figure it out. We always do.
That's not very comforting. I might not want you as my president now. No. I mean, if you got up there and go, we'll figure it out. We always do. That's not really what great leaders do. Great leaders have plans. Great leaders hire the best people. They're problem solvers. You know, getting on the moon wasn't, we'll figure it out. No, this is how we're going to do it. This is the plan. And we're going to achieve it by this date. That's how you fucking do things.
Yeah,
but we're not getting that. Don't you want that?
What I want is the market to dictate fixing the problem. And the market will fix the problem. Technology will fix the problem. Even though if the president is poo-pooing this, there's enough concern that people will start to get together and start to see if we can change
this. But they are getting together. That's already happening. We just have somebody who's ignoring that. People are acting. We just have somebody who's either ignoring at times or actively working against it. That's the problem. And I think part of the problem is we have a president who can never admit he was wrong or was mistaken. Remember, this guy's on record saying this is a hoax purported by the Chinese. He's been on record for this. He can't admit he's wrong. For him, admitting he's wrong is weakness. I think that's a big part of this. It's part of his personality.
Well, that's...
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be able to ever say that he was barking up the wrong tree about something.
Yeah, but this will
and
be...
That's scary.
But this is going to be remedied with him or without him. So...
But we know. But wait a minute. He's the president. It's consequential. What you just told me is, it doesn't really matter what he does. We got another 2 years or 6 years of this guy. It does matter. The scientists are telling you the clock is ticking. So, you know, whether we like him or not, he's a person of consequence.
Yeah. Everything will be fine.
What is that based on?
Based on people will take notice that the market will notice that because of this the climate change. People will take the initiative to make money on working on alternate fuels. There's money in
this. But
what
about the people that die in the meantime and lose their jobs? What about those people? And those people that get sick?
Well, you know what? That's the way it is. I mean, you know, you can't, you know, you look at you have this Shangri-La view of the world. You know, this is
No,
what it
is. I just know what we're I just know that leaders actively work to solve problems. Leaders do not stick their head in the sand and go, don't worry about it. Remember, Trump likes to say when he came in, everything was a disaster and only he can fix it. And your defense of it is, don't worry, somebody else will fix it. It doesn't jive with what he said he is and what you voted for. It doesn't jive, my friend.
It's a free market. Let the free market will address the free market has always seen opportunity and always seen a remedy to solve, you know, a remedy because of that opportunity.
But this is part of our infrastructure. This is we need a new electric grid. We found that out when we had that blackout several years ago. Our electric grid is old. We know the Russians have been in it. So we have a choice to make. Are we going to patch up this electric grid with the old technology? Or are we going to, when we finally fix this electric grid, are we going to do it with the new technology? I say go with the new technology. If we're going to do it, let's have something that's going to last another 100 years. Let's be at the leaders. Because you look at China and you look at Japan, they're using all new technology. Their trains run better than we do. They go quicker than we do. And they're more efficient than ours are. It's all part of it. It's all part of jobs. It's part of the economy. They broke it down to like a business. You're going to lose money. We're going to lose lots of money, lots of jobs, lots of work hours. If he was a real businessman, he'd go, that I can understand. He doesn't even comprehend it on that level or denies it on that level. And you're a big proponent of him as a businessman. That should infuriate you the most. Go, what the fuck? They're telling you as a businessman, forget about the tree huggers. We're going to lose money. That should upset you.
No, we'll see. Everything will be fine. Don't worry.
I don't know if I want to bank on that. This is like we're talking about a potential extinction event. And we're doing nothing about it.
I think part of it goes, and forgive me for saying it, I think part of it is you don't have a child. I think if you had offspring, I think you think about things differently. You think about your future generations.
That could be true. But I, you know,
but I think our president needs to think about future generations. Whether you, as a single man who doesn't have kids, doesn't want to, you know, if you want to fucking, you know, run your Ford F-150, you know, all hours of the night and just burn up gas. That's fine. I wouldn't like it, but that's fine. You're one man. You're doing your thing. But for the president of the United States, part of the gig is looking for the future of the future generations, the legacy. That's a big part of it. I don't think this guy cares about his legacy. I don't think he cares about future generations. I don't think he's going to find Barron Trump.
We don't know where he is.
He's missing. I think he's in a smog cloud.
We got to figure this out.
Well, we can't trust the CIA or the FBI. There's nobody to trust.
That's why we can't find the kid.
I'll tell you, the Saudis got him.
They tell him where he is. He say, no, he's not there.
No, not looking. Fake news, could fake report. He could be here, could be there. Who can really tell? You got to look, motherfucker.
Where is Barron, honey? I don't know.
I thought he was with you.
I thought he was with you. He is not here to ask the FBI. Can't trust him. Kid's missing. Give me shit.
Nobody gives a shit about Barron. He's the new Tiffany.
Yeah. The new Tiffany.
Exactly. Nobody talking. Tiffany Trump. You don't even know that's one of his daughters. You know, I said Tiffany. Joe's like, who is this? Is this a Kardashian?
I know. My old man. I was thinking of Tiffany, the 80s star. I'm like, why bring a Tiffany?
No, that's one of his daughters. That's the forgotten trumpet until Barron came along. Nobody sees Barron. At least Tiffany has an Instagram.
Let me give him rich names. Tiffany, Barron.
What is the fuck? Is a pseudo rich guy.
Money bags.
What do you want him to be called? Mort?
No.
Mort Trump.
Mort Trump.
That won't work now,
he's
will
got
it?
A members only jacket. It's like he wants to eat fucking dinner at 4.
That sounds nice. I don't know why you're making fun of that shit. That sounds delightful to me.
Yeah, shit of Christ. I don't eat till 1 in the morning. Yeah.
What are you talking about? I was going to talk about the EPA, but we are running low on time. So unless you guys have objections.
No,
we can get back to the EPA another day.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. But so Joe is pretty much like, whatever happens, happens. He's like, listen, once my sea monkeys and jizz are gone, I have nothing to fucking leave. And Pip and I are a little bit more concerned. Pip has cats, and I have spawn. And Trump doesn't give
I'm worried
a shit.
About the future of the cats.
You should be worried about the future of the cats. I'm worried about Barron Trump, too. I'm not going to lie.
No, we got it. We can't. We all agree on that.
You're concerned?
Well, yes. We've argued for about 40 minutes, but we need to put our differences aside and worry about where Barron is.
Joe, can you tweet him? Can you ask the president? Say, listen, as your advocate,
we can all work together as a show and find a kid.
Barron!
We'd like to report Davinston has found Barron Trump.
Barron will give you a hug. Yeah. Body contact doesn't have to scare you. Yeah. Where are you, Barron? You can be loved. Sad.
Okay. I'm not joining on bashing this poor kid.
What?
I'm not joining on bashing this poor kid.
I don't.
We're not bashing. We're trying to find him.
I haven't said anything bad about him. I've said he's got absentee parents.
Get your coat and a flashlight. We're going now.
Yeah, you would do it for a one-legged cat. You could do it for the president's son.
That's true.
You know, give some little treats. We'll put some like hors d'oeuvres out. A little caviar. Maybe he'll come out from underneath the bush. Then we'll snack him. Smack him.
No, that one was a kid. He was gummy worms. Oh. That's the kind of bait.
Yeah, but he's a rich kid.
Yeah.
He ain't
not a gummy worm.
He's not eating gummy worms.
Well, you know what he eats.
He's a kid.
He's a kid's a kid.
How do you know? You haven't seen him. He might be a man at this point.
That's true.
He might have a driver's license.
But not long. The kid's 5 or what? No, he's like...
I think he was 11. 11.
Right, so he's 14 now. Maybe he's found girls. Who knows?
What, he go with his daddy's collection?
Maybe.
Escape, and good for him.
You could just see find Trump's collection, Donald Trump's collection of like hot broads. He's fucked. He's got a picture in the... One day, Barron's rummaging through him in the White House. I can see that happening. That's not nothing. Look at Stormy's twat.
Oh my God! It's one of his old business ventures that went bad.
This one was
his
the most expensive one.
Broads, Browdz.
All right. On the break, we got new music from Soleil. Words tonight. Soleil, Amarali, and DJ Payman with They. You can find out more about them at khb-music.de. Short break.